بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأهلي وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
So guys, we're here with a special guest, Luciano. You know, he's a new revert to Islam. Allahumma barik, may Allah keep him firm on the deen. Ameen.
Ameen. So Luciano, even I'm walking in blind here. Usman told us he had a crazy friend, crazy revert story. It goes full circle. So we brought it here for you guys today on the podcast, especially it's in Ramadan. Allahumma barik. Luciano, tell us where you're from first.
I'm from Sarasota, Sarasota, Florida. Oh, well, my dad's Cuban. My mom's Puerto Rican.
Okay, Allahumma barik. So I want to know, how did you find out about Islam?
All right. So where I'm from, it's more based off Christianity. Like there's like churches every street you see, there's a Christian church, Baptist church, everything. So like there's not a lot of Muslim people in our city where I'm from.
Yeah.
So I knew someone. I met someone who reverted to Islam recently last year. And you know, basically I didn't know anything about it. Like I was very ignorant about it, you know, and they were spreading da'wah to me a lot. And I was always being very ignorant, like I said, didn't want to listen to it. And the thing was, like, I saw like how they change as a better person, right? Mm-hmm. So like their past, you know, you don't judge anyone for their past, but you know, they had a past to themselves. But the thing is, you know, once they reverted and they found God, they became a way better person. And just like seeing that, like how important the religion to them was and like how they always talked about it, it just showed like they really love it. And it's not like there's nothing better than it, if that makes sense, you know?
What it sounds like here, it sounds like you saw really the impossible become possible here, because it's just like you would have never thought, like you said, like, oh, such a person, like they had such a past, just to become this whole entirely different person where it's like, oh, now they found God. Now they're like a happier person.
You know, that's like a sentiment like expressed in Islam. When a person reverts to Islam, takes the Shahada, all their previous sins forgiven like that. It's like they're a newborn baby. And it's like, I want to know, how'd you meet Usman?
So me and him went to the same school, high school. Mm-hmm. And we always had the same lunch period. We would always be in this teacher's classroom every single day.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, we were mutuals, but, like, we were never friends like that. Like, we didn't talk every single day. But, you know, me and him were the only kids in school with a BMW. So so that was, like, another thing that, like, shared, like, similarities between us, like, created conversations. But so, like, I knew him from school. We graduated the same year. But we didn't talk after that. But then I started seeing him at the gym. And I like going to the gym a lot. So it's like, once you see someone working out, it's like, hey, how are you? Like, you know, yeah, exactly. You haven't seen them. So like going, like working out is like such a good thing, you know? So that created like another conversation, you know, like another friendship. So that's how like I basically became friends with Osman.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And even then, like the story on like earlier this week, whenever you took your Shahada, was just absolutely crazy. Like I haven't seen you in like months. Like, I remember, like, the last time I saw you was around the time we got back from Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. I was at the gym because, like, we went to Saudi. We started going to the gym every day. So when I came back here, I just continued doing what I was doing. And if anything, I was doing a lot better. Like, I was staying at the gym for 2 hours at a time. I remember I was going, like, kind of extreme at one point. But sitting there at the gym for that long, I would see him from time to time. And, you know, he'd talk and he'd be like, hey, like, I saw, like, you guys, like, went to Saudi. Like, how was that? And I saw, like, you got, like, a podcast. And you were telling me, you were like, you didn't really just think much of it. You're just like, okay, like, you know, they're Muslim, but you know, it's just really went over your head.
Yeah, so like, I didn't know anything about the religion at the time, but you know, like seeing that account, I was like, dang, you guys have like so many followers. And like, I never knew that. Mm-hmm. So like when I saw him at the gym, I was like, dude, that's like, congratulations, man. You have a podcast. Like, how was Saudi and whatnot?
And then so when it came to earlier this week, like, I'm going to explain things from my perspective first, and then he can go ahead and explain from his perspective. So my perspective was, you know, I got off and I was like, I called our friend Brian. I was like, hey, like, you know, what do you want to do? He called me actually. He's like, you want to go out to eat for iftar? And I was like, man, I don't know. You know, I might just go home today. He was like, nah, bro, let's just go out to eat. And I was like, all right, fine. And then he was like, our other friend is coming, but he's also bringing somebody else. And I'm like, bro, like, and this person that he's bringing, like, I don't really associate with this person. I'm like, why are you bringing them? And then he was just like, nah, bro, just they'll come. And I was like, all right, you know what? That's fine. So we went out to eat. And when we were sitting at the restaurant, we got our table, we got a booth, and we were just waiting. And me and Brian were like, you know what? Should we just order our food? I'm like, actually, let's just wait. So I waited to order my food and sitting there waiting, obviously, you know, you're sitting there for like 10, 15 minutes extra waiting for them to come. And then when they came, that's when we just ordered our food. So it was taking a little bit longer. And then, you know, alhamdulillah, like we broke our fast, we ate and we didn't rush anything. We were taking our time, like, you know, and we're just eating, enjoying our food, having a conversation. And the person that he was with was like, oh, I want to go see somebody all the way across town. And it was at a gym, but it wasn't the gym that we go to. It was at a different gym. And I was like, all right, fine. You know, I'll go. But I was like, first, I got to get gas. And the gas station I go to is like on that side of town as well, because I have to get like special gas for my car. And then I was like, let's go there first and then we'll go. And Brian was like, no, I got to go get cat food first. So let's run across the street to Target and we'll get cat food. So we went to Target. And like I said, we weren't rushing anything. He goes in there. He gets his cat food. We hop on the highway. I go to the gas station. I get gas. We're sitting there talking at the gas station for a bit. And then we finally go to the gym. And when we get there, we sit down in the gym. We're waiting for this person. And I'm like, all right, bro. Brian was like, let's go to the Crumble Cookie store really fast. And I was like, all right. We went over there. We left the Crumble Cookie store. And then he comes outside. I haven't seen him in months. He looks completely different. Like, Allahumma barik, he grew his beard. He didn't have a beard before. And he was like, Osman? I was like, Luciano? And then I was like, yo, what's up? And then we started talking. And then he was like, hey, how's Dean Tour? And I'm like, it's amazing. And I'll let him go and continue from his side.
So from my perspective, it was crazy as well. So I had work that day. It was 9 to 5. I work at a dealership. And so I had to chase someone because we sold a car and we had to drop it off all the way to Punta Gorda. And that was an hour away.
Yeah, 1 hour.
So the thing was, I wanted to go, but I wasn't going to get back to like 8 o'clock. And I was getting off at 5. So I had someone else go for me instead of me. And at the time, I wasn't thinking everything. Like, I didn't think I was going to meet you that day, but I didn't want to go. I didn't want to get home so late because I still had to go to the gym. And I was tired because I'm also, before I even took my Shahada, I was still doing Ramadan. So I was hungry and I was thirsty. And the thing is,
you were fasting Ramadan?
Yeah.
No way. Okay.
So I was going to be hungry, thirsty. I didn't have anything with me. So I would have been starving since 9. So from like 5 in the morning to 9 at night, that would have been, you know, hard. But anyway, so I had someone go inside of me. So I went home, you know, got ready for the gym. I got there pretty early. I got there like around 6:30. You know, usually I like to take an hour and 30 minutes for the gym. And it was funny because I left my headphones at home, which was like, usually when I listen, like, especially with Ramadan, like I would listen to like a lot of debates, you know, podcasts while I'm working out instead of listening to music. But I left my headphones that day and I was like, should I go home? I was like, no, you know what? I'll just work out without any headphones. So basically I'm done with my workouts, like 7:30, 8 o'clock. And I have a buddy at my gym who's from Lebanon, and he doesn't practice any religion, but his dad is Muslim. And he tells me like how his dad is going to the mosque for all 5 prayers every single day. And like, mind you, like I said earlier, I don't know anyone in the city who, you know, is Muslim. So it's like, I'm doing this by myself based off YouTube videos. And like, I was scared to go to the mosque. So like, you know, going by myself, like I don't have like the courage to do that yet. Mm-hmm. But so like, I was like, hey, by chance, like, do you think your dad can like help me, you know, teach me some things? Like, you know, it'd be very helpful. And he's like, yeah, man, I can. But the thing is, I'm going to be out of town. I won't be back for another month. So I was like, all right, so I'm going to have to wait another month. But the thing is, I don't have to depend on him, but it was like, it would have helped me. Mm-hmm. And so then I'd start doing cardio, and then like I ended up extending. I was there for like an extra hour, and like my friends were like, bro, go home. Like, you've been here for like 2-3 hours. I'm like, yeah, you're right. Like, maybe I should go home. So like, as I'm leaving, I look to my right, and usually I park on the left side of the parking lot. I never have to go on the right side. So I look to my right and I see Osman and I see 4 of his buddies with him. And I was like, hold on, like, I was just talking to some dude about, you know, Islam, and I needed help. And I was like, Osman, you know, he's got an account with his cousins, Dean Tour. So I'm like, this is the perfect opportunity for me to like learn more, and he can like answer some of my questions for me. So I got to start talking to him, and we ended up taking a seat in front of this acai bowl place. And we sat there for like 3 hours, the whole entire time, just talking about it. And it was just, everything about it was just crazy, you know, because like, we could have avoided like different things. Like, if he didn't go to the gas station, or if I left 30 minutes earlier.
Bro, everything that just happened, like, the person I was eating with at the restaurant, I didn't want to be there with them. And yet they were the person that wanted to go to the gym. That was all the way across town. So if I didn't see them that day, I wouldn't have, you know, ran into you. And like what you were talking about, you said you asked about me a couple of days before that. You asked one of my friends, you're like, hey, do you still talk to Osman? And then he was like, yeah, you know, here and there, you know, but I don't talk to him on a daily basis. And what was crazy before was, you know, since like I follow you on TikTok, you reposted a video and it was about like, you know, a quote unquote Converse at the end. And I showed Brian last week and I was like, look what video he reposted. And I'm like, and Brian was like, what the heck? Like, that's so crazy. I was like, he was like, that's random. And I'm like, I said, I don't know. And then, you know, you ran into me and you were like, oh, how's Dean Tour going? He said, and I was like, it's going amazing. He said, you know, I just bought my prayer mat. And I was like, really? And you're like, yeah, I got myself a Quran. I said, wait, where'd you get a Quran? Who got you a Quran? You're like, myself. And I'm like, really? And then you're like, you started asking me some questions. You're like, I don't want to take too much of your time. I said, nah, let's go. Let's go sit down right here. And that's when we went. We sat down. We were talking about everything. And I was just listening to his story and like how everything went down on his side and my side. I was like, subhanAllah, like this is a sign from Allah. Because there's just no way that like everything just lined up so perfectly. Like I wanted to go home that day. He didn't park on the right side of the parking lot like how he always does. Or he parked on the right side instead of the left side of the parking lot. It's not a coincidence that Brian had to stop at the store and go and get something. And I had to go all the way across town to the gas station. Like subhanAllah, like look how Allah like puts everything right there in front of you. And people look at these signs and they just disbelieve in it. They don't want to believe in it. They're like, oh yeah, it was random. It was a coincidence. But in our eyes as Muslims, we're like, there's no way it could be a coincidence. There's no way it could be random. Randomness does not exist. Just because we can't explain something doesn't mean it's random, right?
And we always say that. Remember, we don't believe in coincidence. We don't believe in luck. We don't believe in randomness. Like this is all three of those things. We never. If something happens, we look at it. We're like, this happened for a reason. We got to think of like, why did this happen? You know, I want to ask you, what was your selling point on Islam? Like, what was your selling point? Like, what made you like, okay, I'm gonna take this step?
So like, I know a lot of people like, you know, they pick their sides with Christianity and like other religions. And like I said, I've always said I was Christian, you know, because of the area I'm from. Like everywhere I drive, there's a church. All my friends are Christian. You know, I used to go to church as a kid with my friends. But like the thing is, like I never really like had a connection with it, right? And I start looking at like videos online. I bought my own book and it's just like, I know a lot of people like get mad, like, you know, the controversial, but it's like, my opinion was like, there were some things that just did not make sense to me, mm-hmm. like that Christians believe. And like I said, like, I'm new to it. So like, I'm not the smartest, you know, I'm not the most knowing or anything at all, you know? So like, it was just a lot. Like, and the thing is, I needed someone to help me with those questions, right? And like, I understand from his part, like, it was like weird, like how he ended up being in that area of the town, but for me, it was just like 2 hours before that, I was asking a man at the gym that I barely know if I can meet his father, you know, to help me about Islam. And then next thing you know, I see him. Mm. And like, I think it just worked out.
And the next thing you know, you're here. It's like,
yeah. Violence. And it was like, the problem was like, I always wanted to take my shahada, but like, I didn't know. I knew I was going to procrastinate it. You know, like it could have been a month from now, 2 months from now. And it was like right there, it answered my questions. And like, right at that point, it was like everything came for a reason. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I have no more excuses. You know, enough with the procrastination. I bought my prayer mat. I bought my Quran. And I followed the belief system anyways. So like, I don't do anything. You know, I work, go to the gym and stay home. I stay away from all the things that are negative that changes, you know, your output in reality. So
mm-hmm. I want to ask, how did your friends and like family react to this?
So I just did this. I just took my shahada Monday. Mm-hmm. So it's only been a week now, but like I haven't told anyone. Like only a couple of my friends know. Mm-hmm. And like there's certain people who, you know, who don't have the same beliefs as me. Mm-hmm. And just with that being said, it's like, as much as like they're your friends for you, they're there for you for everything, it's like you don't want to choose them over God. Mm-hmm. And it's like sometimes you have to push them away, not push them away, but like separate yourself from them. And that's what I've been doing lately. Like I've been hanging out with him and our other friend who's also Muslim. So it's like this whole week I felt like a lot happier. You know, like I've been praying with them, mm-hmm. and, you know, like praying at the gas station, making wudu, me and him making, me and Brian, our other friend, are making wudu at 2 o'clock. And just like, you know, we're not nervous. And that was like one of my biggest concerns was like, I'm scared that someone's going to see me and say something. And there was people watching and just did not care. And it was because at that point, it's just with me and God. Mm-hmm. At that moment, I'm not worried about the outsider's opinion on me.
Beautiful. That's kind of
fun. No, it's crazy because after the gym, what was it? We went on, was it Friday or Saturday?
It was Friday.
Yeah, Friday we went to the gym and we were trying to figure out a place to eat for iftar. And like we ended up picking like this buffet and it was a like grand opening of it. And there was a lot of people there. And like just like the stares that we were getting or even out in the parking lot, we were praying Maghrib right outside the parking lot. And I could just hear someone like comment something like going by, like they're like, what the F are they doing or something like that. And they just walked by and I was like, what the heck, bro? But I just ignored it. I didn't even bring it up afterwards. Like that's how much like it really doesn't matter. Cause at the end of the day, I'm surrounded by my Muslim brothers here. You know, we're praying, we're doing the right thing. You know, who else is to tell us like, you know, we're doing something wrong. Like who cares?
I think it's very like beautiful. Like the whole story, how it like comes together, like it molds together. It's like from the moment you said, oh, I was asking like my friend, oh, can your dad like put me on and like help me answer my questions? And he said no. So you were turned away and you may have been feeling like down at that moment because like maybe you needed the help, even though like you were already doing it on your own. And out of nowhere, like another Muslim who can help you and answer some of your questions comes up out of nowhere. Like these are things that you look and you're just like, well, like I was not expecting this. And your story as a revert, it's really beautiful because not only have you like you're very fresh, you just like took your shahada, so and you haven't been able to tell a lot of people because maybe like you know that's just not the circumstance you're in right now. You're trying to focus on your relationship with God, and I need to ask you, what is your advice to new reverts out there? Like, what is the hardship that you possibly are facing right now, being a new revert without like the support of like possibly your family or some of your friends, and like having to separate from your friends and stuff?
So, my answer for that is just, you have to realize one thing. It's like what they say, Deen over Dunya. You know, you can't like pay so much attention to what's going on in the world, you know, about people's opinions. You know, people come and go every single day, right? And you know, it's a sign from Allah that if they are bad, you know, leave, you know, not push them away in a aggressive way, but just casually over time. And the thing like with your parents, a lot of parents may not be accepting over that, but you know, at the end of the day, they're your parents. They have to accept who you are and love you for who you are. And you know, just try your best to like, you know, open their mind to it, you know, like at least like try your best to open, like don't just say, hey, I just reverted this and that, you know, at least try to, you know, show them that this is the truth and this is what makes you feel better. And like, maybe it can carry on to them and then they can do it to other people. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, just try to find a close friend group or who is understanding. And even if you don't have Muslim friends, at least find friends who are not going to disrespect the religion, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, don't find anyone who are non-believers. I'd rather have a friend who believes in God than someone who doesn't, you know, because at least they still have respect for God than someone who doesn't believe in God and they worship money, they worship other things that are not value, mm-hmm. you know?
And we'll see that. We'll see people waste their lives away, work their entire lives away for things that are, like, so menial. They'll cut off ties of kinship. They'll cut off their family members. They'll cut off this. They'll cut off their closest friends, people they grew up with from day one, like, for something that's not God. They'll cut them off for money. They'll cut off, like, you owe me $20. I'm never going to talk to you again. Like, that's something I never understand, you know?
And the thing is, when it comes to, like, let's say, reverts, or not even just reverts, like, look, even us, like, who are born Muslim, you know, I saw a video really opened up my eyes, but it was talking about how don't worry about, like, if your family is not perfect, your family will never be perfect. Like, look at the prophets. Look at their example. Like, look at Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Look, his father, like, threatened to kill him because he worshipped Allah. Look at Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. Look at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. Like, the Prophet himself, his two uncles died as disbelievers. And they were, like, the closest onto him. Like, think about that. Or, like, look at Prophet Adam alayhi salam. His sons, they killed each other. Like, his son, like, killed the other son. Like, no family will ever be perfect. And
yeah, I think it's just like what he said. It's that when it comes to especially religion, you can't focus so much on an outsider's opinion, even if it is your own family. Because we also express the sentiment that no one is perfect. So if someone says something, it doesn't necessarily, why did you let that control what you do? If society says something, why do you let that control what you do? And like, why do you let it mold your own truths? At that point, you're not yourself anymore. You're a product of other people.
That's a beautiful sentiment because the way that Luciano just brought up how some of, like, he's had to kind of distance himself from his friends, I understand that wholeheartedly, even though I'm not a revert, because I understand what it's like to have Muslim friends, because I grew up in a predominantly non-Muslim area, and I was, like, around a lot of Christians, a lot of agnostics, atheists, all these types of things, not very many Muslims in my high school and stuff like that. And, like, my friends, you know, they never understood my struggle. So when I started taking my struggle as an Islamic struggle, trying to, like, deal with my struggles, my inner self, the Islamic way, my friends stopped being, like, there for me in a sense that, like, they couldn't help me necessarily. Like, their advice didn't avail me. It didn't give me anything to, like, reassure me. It's not like the Quran. They couldn't give me a Quran verse. They couldn't give me hadith. They couldn't teach me something that, like, would help me in my religion, in my relationship to God. They'd give me stuff that, like, keeps me planted in this dunya, keeps my head planted, like, in this world to try to seek the world. Oh, go get your bread up. Go smoke. Go drink. Go get with a girl. Do something. Get your mind off whatever you're feeling. Like, no, how is that going to help me, like, after? Once that stuff is gone, what do I do?
It's temporary fixes.
Exactly. Like, they're trying to find you a temporary fix. And these temporary fixes aren't even always, like, good fixes. They're just something that, like, turn into addictions for you.
It's just a distraction for the current moment.
It's just like he said, like, people come and go, but it's also the same thing with other thing and all these other vices. They all come and go. It's the theme of this life, that nothing lasts forever, and that you'll see your most loved ones perish in front of you. You'll see all these people leave. Like, but then, and it's like when you neglect the ever living and the everlasting in your life, and you see all these people, all these things come and go. It's like, man, like, at that point, you've lost. You've neglected the one thing that it's like Allah says in the Quran, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." We are from Allah, and to Him we will return. And it's like, it's a journey from Allah to Allah, you know?
I also got to ask you a question. What was, like, that moment where you were either studying Islam or practicing or doing something where you were just like, okay, I can feel like this is the right path?
Every single day. I know that doesn't answer the question, but, like, every single day I just felt better and better. And the thing was, in the outside, like, in reality, you know, everything wasn't going well for me. You know, I was alone every single day, wasn't working at the time. You know, only thing I was doing was working out. I wasn't going out, I was just going home, getting on my PC, you know, on my second monitor, I was having YouTube videos pulled up about Islam. And then right here, I had my game. And if I, like, had it paused, I would always watch it, like, 3-hour video, just listening to it every single day. And it just, like, every single day just made me feel better. Like, again, then when I bought my Quran, I would always read it. I would read, like, 6 pages before the gym. Like, I would sit in my car, turn my car off, listen, read the book, and just felt better every single day. Like, my workouts felt better. I just felt more knowledgeable. Like, I was waking up early, was running the bridge at 6 o'clock in the morning. Like, no one does that. And it's just, like, I know, like, it's me doing it, but there's a reason why I'm doing it. And it's, like, once I started looking into the religion, I just felt like it was just helping me feel better. Like I said, you know, no job, you know, no friends, I'm not doing anything, but I still felt like a presence there. That makes sense.
And the thing is, when you were telling me, if you wanted to speak on that, was, like, when you said, like, you sold the car, and then, like, you know, what happened? Like, you were, like, up here.
Yeah.
And then, you know, things just came down here.
The next day, not even 8 hours, you know.
So tell that from the beginning, because I need to hear that.
So I was working at a dealership. It was a nice dealership, and I had a customer come in looking at a Range Rover. It was a $250,000 car, and the price doesn't matter, but it was just at the time, it mattered to me because it's an expensive car, and, you know, when you sell it, the commission is going to be really good. So, like, I sold it, and I was feeling myself. It was the second day of December, so, you know, the second day of the month, I already covered the draw, because in dealerships, they pay you a certain amount, and you have to pay them back with sales. So I already covered the draw, and I made a lot, you know, for my pockets. And I was feeling like I was on top of the world. I felt like no one was better than me at the time. And, you know, the day was going great. Went to the gym, you know, hung out with friends. And the next day, this one's kind of funny, but my car, because my car was getting serviced. And so my mom took it to the dealership because I had to go to work. So she let me take her car, and she has an M3, which is a nice car. It's a faster car. And mind you, like, now you're just adding it on. You know, I sold a car. The next day I'm driving like my dream car. Like my mom has my dream car, but like she doesn't let me drive it. So that day, you know, right after I sold the car, I get to drive it. I'm like feeling like on top of the world, like I said. And I pull into the dealership. You know, manager sees me going 22 miles an hour. It was fast, but you know, the speed limit was 20. I was going too over, but you know, he, you know, terminated me. And like that was like such a, like a little reason, like no one just, you know, gets terminated over something like that. So I just put two and two together. I was like, it's not him that was doing it. It was, you know, the man above who was humbling me, because, you know, he wanted me to seek the truth. And I was, at the time, that was like when I started looking into it. And like that was like, I would like kind of push it away. Like I was, people were like, not people, like one person in particular, they were spreading dawah to me. But the thing is, I would ignore it. And that was like when it hit me. I was like that was your sign. Like, you lost your job, you're getting paid really good, and like now you have nothing. You have nothing left. I mean, yeah, you have a house, and which I'm thankful for. Everything, you know, clothes, food, transportation, parents that love you. Like, I have those. But like as far as that, like those are like things that a lot of people don't appreciate nowadays. A lot of people like to appreciate their vehicles, you know, going out to downtown, like getting drinks. Like, they like doing that. They look forward to that. And that's like when it like kind of like you hit me, like it's time to like seek the truth, you know, open your mind, you know, like open your ears, be open-minded to it. Cause that's the thing. A lot of people misinterpret the religion. They, you know, they assume other things. They assume other things about the religion without even looking into it. You know, they never search it out. What is Islam? They don't do anything like that. They just assume that cause it's from a different country on the other side of the world. It's like, it's only for them, and like they're bad people. And that's like the thing, like the ignorancy, which I was falling into. But I'm glad that I, you know, I escaped that before it was too late.
That's actually, it's so cool, because like your story reminds me of something for myself. Like, you had something happen to you, and instead of attributing it to God, like your success to God, and like having, oh, that nice sale and being able to drive your dream car, you thought it was like from yourself. You thought you were thinking that you were the one on top. And that's like, that's relevant for me, because I've told this story many times where I used to play sports, and like I was trying to go professional, and I was paying a lot of money to train and like to for my health and for my body and stuff, and everything was working, and I was like and I felt on top of the world. I felt like I was better than everybody at this sport. I thought I was going to be the best in the world. I thought I was going to be like a Hall of Famer and stuff, but I never attributed it to God. Like, I never said like, oh, my skill is from God, my success is from God. I never said any of that stuff. And then I got humbled. I got hurt. And I wasn't able to play for like 6 months. And like, I ended up stopping playing because I was like, man, that made me realize, okay, maybe this really isn't the best for me. Like, I was able to get hurt. Like, what the heck? I thought I was invincible. But God showed me a different way. And like the same way God showed you a different way, like your money, that sale wasn't everything for you. There was something better for you waiting. And that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like actually show you, like, okay, there's something bigger for you at hand. And the way that you were able to see that hardship as a means to seeking out God instead of turning away from him. Like, you easily could have gone and done something else. Could have turned to like haram means of like making that your money now. Like, if you didn't have your job, you could have went and started making money in a forbidden manner or something like that. Or you could have started turning to drugs and alcohol and stuff like that. You know, things that can be temporary for you.
And that's the thing now. You're sitting there with no job, right? And you have a lot of time on your hands now. You could do anything with that time. But you sat there and you chose that time to take that time and really focus on yourself and get closer to Allah. And like, you know, that shows like true character and true like iman, like, and true guidance from Allah. Like, it's so crazy.
And it's also like, it's sincerity, because when you put, like, say, like you put everything, like you said, you felt so good just because of that one sale. Sometimes like that could be dangerous. When you put everything into if I get this one thing, my life will be set. Or if I get this, my life will be set. Like, that's not reality, because you'll get that one thing and then you'll be asking for another thing and then another thing and then another thing until you're dead. And it's something that's never ending. That's why you need to seek something where it's like you're preparing. Like, we all know we're going towards death, and you need to seek something where you're preparing for that. Like, it's, and I'll never understand, like, we know, each and every single human being knows the reality that they're gonna die. Like, and it's a scary reality. Like, if I, like, imagine an atheist, like, I would be extremely afraid to die, bro. Like,
oh, right. Yeah, because like,
okay, well, this story was like, it's so relevant. I think we have to bring you on, like, soon after so that we can like check up on you, get an update on you, like how, what you're learning. And
because we also, we have a lot of reverts that watch us, and we sometimes we don't know what to like tell them. And you know, maybe you can share some of your experiences, share like you guys can share a struggle and bond, or you know.
Well, that was another thing, because I would always look at your guys' Instagram account and your TikTok as well, and like looking all like all that, what's it called, like looking at all those videos and trying to like consume all that information that would get into my head, and I would get like
overwhelmed
because it's like it's a step-by-step process. You know, you have to learn how to speak a different language, especially if you're not familiar with it. You know, you have to learn how to take time out of your day. It's like 50 minutes out of your day to pray. Not a lot of people want to do that. So it's like it's a step-by-step process. And I think I was falling into like I had to do everything at once, and that was like my biggest struggle. And like I was, that's why I was so scared to like take my shahada like earlier, because I thought that once you take your shahada, it's a clean slate, you know, all your sins are removed and you're a new person. I was scared that my first month or first week I wasn't gonna pray, I wasn't gonna do like anything, like go to the mosque. And I thought I was gonna, you know, I thought I was gonna get rewarded more, and that's why I was so scared. But the thing is, you have to be patient with it, you know. And you know, like I said, one step at a time, you know, learn one salah, you know, either if you want to do, you know, fajr, or if you want to do the night prayer, you know, just take one at a time, you know. And that's what I was like struggling on. Like I wanted to do all five prayers in one day, but in reality, we're not perfect, you know.
And that's great. All right, go ahead.
We're not like robots. We're not AIs. We're human beings, and we're not perfect. So, you know, your brain can only consume so much. And that's the problem that a lot of people don't realize, is that it takes one step at a time, like I said. So do this one and then do the next one. And like also what I was doing was, for example, for like, you know, if you have social media, like make sure like you're always reminded about Islam. Like I downloaded apps that show me the prayers, ask me questions, did I fast today, or you should read this verse, the surah. Like you should, like I'm always getting reminded, because the thing is, I don't have, you know, brothers around me to constantly remind me. I only have myself. So that's like when I'm fully tested at that point, that's like, do you want it or not? And that's like, I made sure that I wanted it by reminding myself, like my TikTok for you page is only, you know, religion, Islam, you know, there's no females shaking, you know, doing anything revealing, that's bad, that's sinning. And like I said, that's take it one step at a time. Mm-hmm. And that you're not alone, you know, just try to find the right people around you. And just take the step, you know, like don't have one foot in, one foot out. Just, you know, find the love for it, be open-minded to it, and then, you know, move on from that, move forward to that.
And I remember you telling me on the day of like taking your shahada, I was like, because you were explaining me to your story and everything, and I just went on, I just asked you like, because sometimes, you know, you just have to take that little leap, you got to be like a little straight up. And I was just like, okay, so why didn't you take your shahada? And that was like, I don't want to be pushy, I don't want to put the pressure, but I was just like, you know, why not? And then you were telling me, you're like, oh, you know, I need to make sure like this is perfect, and I got to make sure I know how to pray. And I'm just like, and I remember what I told you, I was just like, you know, this is from the shaitan. Like, you know, the shaitan will try to get you to procrastinate always. He'll be like, oh, you don't know this. Or in reality, I remember I brought up the example, I was like, take someone who doesn't pray, but they're Muslim, they know everything, but you know, they're doing a whole bunch of sins, and then Shaitan will tell them, oh, you're doing this and that, you're not going to be able to pray, you're just being a hypocrite. But in reality, if you don't start praying, you're never going to get off those sins, you're never going to become a better version of yourself. And then you know, the version of you are praying will always be the better version than you not praying. So it doesn't matter if you're doing the most heinous sins and you're still praying, you're still better off doing that than being the person who doesn't pray.
And even, I don't know if you know this, but we believe that when a person starts praying, it takes them away from bad things. So you might not even realize it, but when you start praying, you'll start seeing people, maybe some people, they like leave your life, or maybe you won't feel them want to go to do like, who knows, like go out drinking or something like that. Like when you start praying, that like it helps you refrain from
sincere.
All. Yeah, it's sincere prayer as well, you know?
But imagine like the sins that you're doing currently while praying. Imagine you weren't praying. You'd be doing a lot more, but you wouldn't know because, yeah, you know, now you're on the path of praying.
And I already see that now. Like even with the first week, for example, like I have friends who go out every single Friday, Saturday night, you know, they drink. I don't do that, but they, you know, they usually invite me, right? this week I didn't get an invitation, right? Or my friend went somewhere yesterday, they didn't invite me. Usually we hang out every single day. And it's like, that's a sign, you know, you're going to the better side. You know, you're following the right path instead of, you know, merging to the wrong path.
And something relevant that you said was like how you were looking at our videos and how you were consuming all this information, but our content is not necessarily like aimed towards reverts, because we give like reminders from the basis of someone who's already Muslim and knows like the deen of Islam, right? But for someone who's a revert, obviously like taking everything in all at once is never going to avail. It's not going to help. You're not going to be able to. Trust me, you're not going to be able to, because the way that revelation is so beautiful, it came down over a period of 23 years. If it came down all at once, nobody would have believed. The prophet would probably not have been able to accept it. Like, he had to accept it over time. At first, he didn't even believe in it. Like, he had to go back and actually seek help from someone else to tell him, like, bro, like, what's going on to me? Like, what's going on? Like, someone came and they told me, like, read. And he was scared. But over a period of 23 years, he was finally able to complete revelation and deliver to his people. So then the people were able to believe, because over time they were able to find it out more for themselves. Like, first, it was learning about God. That's why all those years in Mecca, you see, like, when you learn about more about the Quran, you'll learn that all these verses that came down
in faith,
talking about faith, came first. Those came first to perfect your faith, let you know that God is one. Only worship
and
Allah.
And he's real.
Yeah, exactly. And he'll show you his signs. But then after that, it'll go to the things that tell you, okay, stay away from this because it's better for you, because Allah is more knowing than you. And then you'll learn for yourself, okay, wait, maybe I should stay away from this.
And because, you know, now you built up the foundation, because, like, if I just straight up tell you, hey, don't smoke, you're going to be like, bro, who are you anyways? Like, who are you? You have no right to tell me what to do and what not to do.
Yeah, like, it makes me feel good. Like, it's not going to make sense to them at face value.
But then over time, like, if I'm someone, like, you look up to me as, like, a mentor, then you start to believe anything that I would tell you. Like, if, like, let's say I'm a person, like, I'm where you want to be in life, and I'm like, hey, all right, start doing this and leave off this. And then you're like, okay, like, I'll start doing that because, you know, I want to achieve that type of success that you have. Mm. So, like, once you build that relationship with Allah, you build the faith up in Allah, and Allah starts to tell you to start doing things and not doing things, then, you know, it's going to be a lot easier for you because, you know, you have a basis to go on. You know Allah now.
Exactly. And I think, like, that's something that we can start practicing more, is bringing more people on who have different perspectives, like reverts, maybe even non-Muslims, so that we can speak to them about, like,
no, because, you know, I know that's true, because, like, I honestly, especially non-Muslims, because I do believe that people, you should be able to say, like, what you want to say, but okay, come with your arguments, we come with our evidence, but in a settled manner. It's not like it's like a shouting match or like a fight, but like, you bring your evidences, we bring our evidences, and let's discuss our ideas, let's see who's in the right, and then after that we'll know who's truly arrogant, you know.
Yeah. And so we'll have to bring you on another time, because, like, it's so relevant, like, the topics that you brought up today and, like, the stories that you brought, because it's like, it really is a sign, like, even for me, you know. I'm a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I do my best, but, like, you coming in this, like, in this manner, it kind of, like, opened up more doors for me, because, like, I see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, like, really who he was, like, right before my very eyes.
You know, it's so crazy. I have another person, they're also a revert, and they went to school with me, and they know him, and I told them, I was like, hey, you know, you remember this so-and-so, remember him from school? And they were like, yeah, I do. And then I was just like, yeah, well, he accepted Islam now. And then they were like, they were surprised. And I was like, yeah, this is just shows you, like, you know, this is just a sign from Allah. Allah guides who he wills. You know, it doesn't matter if you think someone's the worst person in the world. If Allah guides him, then he's rightly guided. And the person who Allah deviates, no one can help that person.
That's why you never lose hope in anyone. Like, even the worst of people that you might see on the streets, you never lose hope in them. Because, yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the end of the day, he's the one who guides. Like, if he allows them to accept Islam, who are we to say anything about it?
Right, and then just look at all the Sahaba. They were all reverts at the end exactly. of the day. Just, like, think about it like that. They weren't born into a Muslim family. Bro, some of them, you try to kill the Prophet. Can you imagine trying to kill the Prophet?
Every single one of them at one point in their life, besides maybe a few of them, worshipped an idol. Associated partners with Allah.
So, committing, like, the most worst sin that you could ever commit.
But they were all forgiven for that. Like, it wiped their slate clean. And we don't even learn about that stuff because that's not relevant to us. What's relevant to us is their character, the way that they...
How they ended.
Islam and how they ended their life. It's not how you start, it's how you end.
And just think about it in, like, Ramadan. If you started off Ramadan good and you ended off badly, you're worse than the person who started off Ramadan badly but ended off good.
100%.
Go ahead.
I wanted to start the outro, but if you have something to say...
Yeah, hold on. I'm trying to remember what I was trying to say. I can't remember.
Okay, well, for another time, inshallah. But yeah, that's going to close out this podcast, inshallah. So, like, we hope you guys enjoy. Like, take this as a lesson. You know, take this as a sign maybe for yourself. You know, if you are surrounded by non-Muslims, try giving out da'wah. If you're a revert, you know, like, know that, of course, you're not alone. Allah, most importantly, is with you.
We're working on that. Don't worry. We're working on the
matter of fact.
We're working on, you know, helping other Muslims, helping, like, the Muslim community and stuff. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, like along about it, like looking at his story and everything, like when I met up with him, like he said he's only been, you said you only researched it for how long? Like 2.5-3 months?
Yeah.
And the knowledge that you came forth with is as if like you've been Muslim for like quite a while now. Like it's crazy. Like he knew like so much along about it, and it's just like it's growing now. And he's like, you're like determined. You're like, I'm going to learn Arabic. I'm going to do this and that. And you're like, you're taking that step further that even a lot of people, they're born Muslim. They don't want to take that. They don't want to take that step. And look at you as a revert doing your due diligence and just researching everything and taking that step forward. All right, I don't know Arabic, but guess what? I'm going to learn Arabic. It's that commitment, that heavy commitment that a lot of people don't want to commit to because they're afraid to. You know, it's overwhelming. Like, you know, like you said, you know, you sit there, you try to consume all this information at one time. It's going to get overwhelming.
And I think it's just like, because once you start loving God, the last thing you want to do is, you know, like, fail him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's like why I want to do my best, because I want to be the best I can for him, and like I don't want him to be disappointed in me. That's like why I was stressing myself so much trying to learn this and this and that.
And when we talk about fearing Allah, that fear is not just, all right, I fear what Allah is going to do to me, but it's that fear of losing that connection with Allah. Because once you lose that connection with Allah, what else do you have? You have nothing. Mm-hmm. Just can you imagine like being amongst those people in the hellfire and Allah says, sit there and do not talk to me. Like, like when I read that in the Quran, like I had to sit there and like really pause that. Like when Allah says, like, sit in there with disgrace and do not speak to me. Can you imagine the Lord of mankind telling you that, the most forgiving, the most generous, the most merciful, telling you that?
Who created you? Like,
he created you. He gave you food, clothes,
like,
water.
Matter of fact, a lot of us here that have mothers, you know, alhamdulillah, just like think about your own mother telling you that. Now just imagine God telling you that.
God who you put above your mother.
Yeah.
But with that, you know, hope you guys like are tuned in, especially to the things that we have coming, bi-idhnillah, like to be able to help the Muslims and be there and like unite Muslims in a manner that is pleasing to Allah, bi-idhnillah. And with that, you know, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
All right, we appreciate you guys for watching. Make sure to share this with your friends and family. You never know whose life you can change by sharing this video. Like, look, this situation right here even changed my life. So like, just imagine like what it would do to other people, you know, inshallah. Like, may Allah keep us firm on the deen. I mean, but make sure you guys join our Discord. We're trying to build the biggest Discord Muslim community, and we needed your guys' help for that. And on top of that, we got big things coming for you guys soon. Make sure you guys stay tuned for that. You know, you guys don't want to miss out on this opportunity. And we appreciate you, of course. You know, jazakallah khair. We're looking forward to seeing you, inshallah, on another podcast episode. You know, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
All right. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Thank you. No. Say salam.
Salam.
Alaikum.
Alaikum.
There you go.
There you go, man. All right.